in Pennsylvania, we're, you know, investing 43 on average, right? This is our average. This is if a person doesn't have a health condition. But we're investing $43,000 in an individual who's incarcerated, but only $21,000 in a student.
I just hope the mic's not picking all that up.
No problem. Hello, hello, hello. I am Tony Purnell. I'm your homie, I'm your brother, and I am your friend. Welcome to another episode of Hung Up Pod Live with Eric and Tony.
What's up, y'all? I'm Eric Cole, aka Tennis Bay. And again, welcome to another week. We have Andre Carroll Hill here with us. Andre is an educator, a juvenile justice advocate, and he is currently the Democratic candidate for State House Representative. Welcome to Hung Up Pod Live.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Yes. It's good to see you.
That's my first time hearing you say Tennis Bay. So that was.
Really?
Yeah. Never heard that before.
Which is interesting because that's like our beginning.
Yep. Yep.
Is like where we met. And you all know that's where Tony and I also on the tennis court.
What?
Yes.
Yeah.
Hold on.
Tennis too.
Yes. Yes. Yes, we do.
Yes.
We do. I did not.
Yeah.
We. Met okay. Up, oh, I gotta meet you on the court.
Yeah.
When's the last time you played?
We ain't gonna talk about that. But yeah.
But spring is coming.
Yeah, spring is coming.
And Andre is going to be busy, so I don't know. But we're going to try to get you out.
I got to make some time to get back on the courts. Yeah, I miss tennis courts.
Well, you know, there's a bunch of people that you might need to touch on the court. You never know. There might be a crowd of people that you need to meet, you know, for that vote. There's some people that you need to meet at the court.
Well, I'll meet people wherever they are.
All right.
Wherever they are.
He said, I want to be accessible. Let's do that.
Yeah, there's a song that says, I want to be where you are. Yeah.
Oh, yes. That's a classic.
Yeah, that's come on here.
Why don't you tell the listeners what we're going to be talking about tonight?
Listen, so we're going to get into I'm a claimant. So the elected official. So we're going to manifest some stuff. You know, how he came to, you know, this position in life, what introduced him into the world of politics, why he wanted to do this, a little bit about his upbringing, and some other good stuff.
Yes. We're going to have a good time.
Mm-hmm. All right. All right.
So let's go ahead and get right into our next segment, first segment, which is listener feedback.
Mm-hmm.
And we do have a little bit of feedback this week. And remember, if you have feedback, feel free to post it on the episode. You're commenting. You can watch now. As you're watching, you can comment now and make sure you hit that subscribe button. If you have not already, hit the like button, send a comment, or you can always DM Tony or myself. Y'all text us. Sometimes they come through the email box, hungupod@gmail.com. So
the phone?
Call us. Tony ring said, our bell.
He was like, what about this prop? Y'all got props and shit. Like, what are we doing with them? Are we using them?
Oh, yes.
This is the politician.
Call us. Right now. Listen.
Okay? We're y'all seeing how a man runs an office, how he runs a campaign. Okay?
And we love it.
And we do.
We use all the resources.
That's right. You got to be really accessible. Do.
Which is interesting because I'm getting like spam texts
mm-hmm.
on the Hung Up Pod phone number, and it's like really weird. So I don't know how much longer I'm going to be using that.
But okay.
We put us in the prayer box this week.
Come on here. Let's hear from the listener feedback this week, Eric. What you got?
So we have T. Taylor, who is an artist, 3D artist,
yes.
entrepreneur. Hey, T. What's up, T? She was our last episode, mm-hmm. right?
Our last guest.
No, she won't be. This is a few ahead.
Okay.
We're in the future right now.
Okay.
In the studio. But for y'all, we gotta rewind back a little bit.
That's right.
So T. Ross Taylor commented and said, I had so much fun. Oh no, this is T. She said, thank you. I had so much fun. Thank you for having me. So shout out to T. Thank you for showing up in the studio. She brought some really dope art with her. So make sure y'all check out that episode. Tony, what did you like the most about T? And we were in the podcast room. We're not usually in the podcast, right?
It was different. Changed up with the scenery, the environment. One, y'all had to see the work in person. Like, her piece.
Yeah.
Like, it does no justice on camera. Like, the 3D aspect, it was amazing. I love it.
And she didn't even want to be limited by 3D. She was like, what if I want to make it 4D, 5D? Like, her imagination is just wild. And I thought it was really cool that T does live painting every morning on TikTok. So make sure y'all check out the last episode we had with T Taylor. And we also had some feedback on the Jay Latay episode, which is last season. So that's a season back. Moby Outside.
Come on, Mo.
Actually left a comment saying congratulations. Moby Outside was actually, she was on the podcast as well not too long ago.
All right.
So shout out to Moby Outside. And shout out to Jay Latay. He's definitely doing his thing. We'll see more parties. And especially with spring being here, summer coming, you know we're going to see the parties. And we'll be there to support.
Absolutely.
For sure.
And so that was our listener feedback segment. If you have any commentary, any suggestions, any concerns, any comments, let us know. Anything you want to see, hit us up at our Gmail, hungoppod@gmail.com. All right.
All right, Tony.
So let's go into our... So we have our shtick. People say, what's our hang-up? What's our hang-ups? We're going to show you right now. Let's start, you know...
I can show you better.
Can I? You know what? I think Marquise, I think Sterling, and I think Eric's going to be proud of me because... I'm currently hung up on the thought that we're kind of 2 days away from Beyonce's country album, you know? And so I
wait, I'm gagging. Go ahead.
I know. So me too.
You know.
I'm gagging because, you know.
Go on.
In the beehive, but, you know, I support from afar. But I am vocalizing my support right now. So I'm super excited about the album that's about to drop in a couple of days. So I'm totally hung up on listening to that country album that's about to be released, you know? So we're coming down to probably get her done. All right. I'm hung up.
Are you hung up? Are you anticipating act two?
This ain't Texas, but it's always beehive. Oh. So I'm ready. I'm not in the beehive, but I'm definitely near the tree.
That's what she said. Yeah, she said, this ain't no country album. This is a Beyonce album.
So. I'm excited. I'm deeply, deeply excited. I know Black folks have been, you know, at the forefront of a lot of these things has been, you know, taken away and redesigned by others. But I'm excited that, you know, the Black woman that, you know, has been leading music for a very long time is bringing it back to its roots. So I'm excited.
Yes. And I heard that the album is like 5 years in the making. And that's for the girls out there that thought that she just came up with this overnight or that Beyonce was trying to prove a point. No, ma'am. Like, this has been a project that's been in the making. And Beyonce,
well, she is trying to prove a point.
Well, she mentioned that part of it was encouraged with she felt uninvited in the space.
Absolutely.
So to that point, it'll be interesting to hear the story that Mother tells with this album.
Come on here.
And everyone should go back and watch that performance that she's referring to with her and the Dixie Chicks at the Country Music Awards.
She's referring to that moment when she said that.
It was a really great performance. And
the American flag folks was hot.
They were. And you got to pay attention to the audience who's not clapping, who's just looking and just, there's no energy coming from their body.
Let's go back and watch it together.
That's Beyonce performing.
Wow. Let's go back and watch it together.
It's given that black and white video that's on YouTube with Dionne Warwick that a lot of people are familiar with where she's singing in the bar and all the folks are just.
That's it.
So we're hung up. Tony, so for me, are you finished?
Well, I was finished, but I didn't like how, you know, our team looked at me when I was telling my hang up.
Why?
Marquise and Sterling, they looked at me kind of like sideways. I thought y'all would be proud at me.
Call them out.
You know, for having a...
We just had to make sure what was going to come out your mouth, because, you know, this is not a normal thing for you. And so the side eye was to make sure, you know, we're Virgos. Anything can happen.
With me, Virgo. Oh my God!
The Virgos,
you see how they feel about me?
Because
they know from history. I'm not. Yeah, they know. But thank y'all. Okay.
They know.
That was our hang up segment.
Whoa! Not until I do mine.
Oh shit! Oh, I'm so sorry, Eric. I thought you. I'm done now. He said, I'm hung up. I'm hanging up on Tony.
We're done.
My bad. Go ahead, friend.
No, actually, Tony, this kind of, you know, involves you a little bit because we talked about this earlier this week. So this actually does involve you because earlier this week we talked about a friend of yours that kind of misinterpreted my complimenting them. And so this week, and it's happened a couple of times. So I'm like, all right, you know what? Let me just bring it to the show.
Why would you?
And say that I'm hung up on platonic love, platonic affection. And I think we really need that more, especially in the queer community. And I think we're so used to, let's just be honest, the girls be mean.
Nice, nasty.
The girls be mean.
You know who you are.
And we rarely compliment each other. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? When's the last time you just complimented someone or let them know that they look good or that they smell good?
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? Like, girl, your ass is fat, or, you know, the hair is giving today. Mm-hmm. Or, you know what I mean? Just, and I noticed that in some of the spaces that I've been in, it's like, that's not really something that happens a whole lot.
Or people think you have ulterior motives, you know. You're not so coming from a genuine space. Thing,
mm-hmm. Right. So there, it really doesn't leave room.
Absolutely.
To be polite and to be platonic, like have that platonic affection. Mm-hmm. And I think we do need like words of affirmation is a love language. So for some people, that's the thing that gets them going in some cases, you know. So I'm hung up on that because we need it more in the community. And I think the interaction I had with your friend, or actually with someone that was on the show, and this happened again with someone else where I'm just nice. I'm a man's man, or you can say I'm a girl's girl. So when I'm in company with my people, I'm going to love up on you.
Yeah.
I'm going to love up on you. And sometimes people interpret that as like, is he flirting with me? Is he trying to? And I think it's because we're just not used to people being nice to us. And so I'm hung up on that. And I want us to all to practice that. Like, make a little bit more room in your life to be nice.
Eric, we can make that a whole episode.
We probably can.
We need to talk about that being one of the episodes in season 3.
Some of y'all nasty.
Nice nasty.
He being nice to put the nice on it. All right. No, you're right. You're absolutely right. So.
Well, we hope y'all enjoyed that last segment. You know, this is our thing. This is what we do. You either hung up or you hanging up on something. If you have some hung up or hang ups, let us know what you are hung up on or you hanging up. Let us know. Put it in the comment section. Email us. Call me. Text me. Let us know. All right.
They calling you, Tony?
Sometimes.
Hey.
Sometimes. All right. Listen, the man of the hour.
Let's go ahead and get on to
it. Let's get into it. You know, less time is spent. Let's get into this thing.
My brain is moving. I'm like, girl, go. The camera on. Okay. So we there. Come on, girl, work with me. The iPad is being shady. So, Andre, you are running for and representing the area that you grew up in, Germantown. So when I hear 201, I feel like you are talking about that area, the Northeast area. Let's just go ahead and just start with the basics. What is a state rep? Why is this role important?
Yeah. You know, I'm glad that you asked that, right? You know, a lot of civics is just not available, and, you know, especially in, we have educators in the room, but you know, civics is not a course that's available in a lot of the schools that's here in Philadelphia. And you know, we have three branches of government. We talk about the local, which is here in Philadelphia, be our city council, our mayor. Then we got the state rep, state senators, and our governors. And then we have our federal branch, which is the one that folks are most familiar with. And that's Congress and our president, right? So you know, the state rep is the state level government that works with that's one house. They work with the senators and pass laws with our governor. So I'm running to be one of the 203 state reps here in Pennsylvania.
All right now.
Okay. And I don't know if this is your slogan, but I'm seeing and I'm hearing schools over prisons, healing over harm, people over profit.
Yeah. I mean, it's definitely the mantra of the campaign, but it's also just my lived experience. It's my life, you know. I'm a product of a father who spent 95% of my life in prison, and a mother who's been battling substance abuse since she was 14. Wow. And, you know, the school that I graduated from, Germantown High School, no longer exists. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we continue some kind of way to invest into things and not into people.
You know what? Actually, that really was my next question. When you talk about, you know, the product, when you talk about your upbringing. So most times when we have guests come on our show, I like to go back. Mm-hmm. And it takes that going back in order to really assess our present time. Mm-hmm. And so I want to know, as far as your upbringing and where you come from, how do you feel about, you know, your upbringing as far as relation to where you are now?
Yeah.
Why? I mean, honestly, for me, I think growing up in an environment can be a certain environment can be traumatic. Mm-hmm. If I am without a father, without a mother, mm-hmm. I don't have a secure attachment as a child. And we talk about clinical. So how has that process for you and this adulthood, bring the two together for me?
Yeah, you know, I think it's something that we all can relate to, right? When I think about like entertainment, I think about why young Black folks have been raised by television or been raised by music is because that's where they see and hear their stuff, right? Mm-hmm. When we listen to rap music and we listen to R&B, it's things that we connect to because we hear the struggles that we've been through. When we're watching The Cosby Show or we're watching, you know, reality television, we see ourselves in these spaces, so we connect there, right? Mm-hmm. And as a kid, there wasn't a person who was going through what I was going through that I could see that, you know, that mm-hmm. was a leader. And, you know, and I struggled with that as a kid. You know, I was one of the kids who, you know, when I was in class and parent-teacher conference night happens and then my grandmother can't come because she's working two jobs mm-hmm. to, you know, keep a roof over our heads. And, you know, someone, mom or dad comes and then they say, well, where's your mom and dad? And I kind of don't have an answer for them, right? Mm-hmm. And that sticks with you, right? And then what I realized is that when I look at this generation of young people, they're going through something a little different. Like a lot of young folks today are, have been victims of gun violence in some mm-hmm. kind of way. But the era that I come from, we were the product of young folks who came from the crack era.
Yeah.
Who came from mass incarceration, right? I'm a 91 baby. I was born in 91. So that was the decade where they were locking folks who looked like me up left and right. Like yeah. it was going out of style. But that was right after the decade after, you know, where crack was this substance where it was socially accepted. No, right now we're watching
people absolutely.
Deal with this opioid issue, right? Mm-hmm. And yeah. it's very similar, right? And we see things happen in waves, and that just was the wave that was happening in the 90s. And, you know, I'm very proud of how far I've come, where I'm at, and yes. I haven't allowed those things to be the ceiling for how far I can grow.
And that's the piece. Yeah. We talk about that resiliency aspect.
Yes, resilience.
Everything you've been through, everything you've encountered, everything that you've witnessed, everything that you've been exposed to, mm-hmm. this
using it as a tool
still says resilience
to push forward. Yeah,
I appreciate that.
And impact.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And it's, you got to talk about it. You got to, you know, you got to lean into it because there's going to be a young kid that's somewhere listening and watching, right? Mm. You know, I remember when I was a kid and I was watching, you know, Whitney go through her struggle on TV. Mm-hmm. I connected because I'm like, that's everybody's favorite aunt. Everybody got an aunt yeah. like Whitney who comes to the picnic or comes to the cookout. And we all love her. Like, can't get enough of it, right? Yeah, so, you know, yeah. and that's why we feel so connected to these people when they're no longer with us, as if we knew them, is because we see ourselves in them. And that's how I view government, is that I want young folks, especially people who come from the community that I come from, to see their self and their leaders and people who's making decisions on their behalf.
Gotcha.
Because that's so important, you yeah. know, and we, and Tony asked you about that school of hard knock life mm-hmm. that you came out of really like a phoenix mm-hmm. raising up out of that. And I think it is important that our leaders, and particularly our elected leaders, can relate to us in that way. One of the main things we hear is that folks feel so disconnected mm-hmm. from some of our leaders. And so to hear you say that so when you're out in the field and you're talking with people, mm-hmm. they can relate to you mm-hmm. on many different levels. But I'm sure there are also some areas where folks, you maybe can't relate. Mm-hmm. How do you build that? How do you bridge that gap?
Yeah, you know, I think it's about being your authentic self, right? You know, I think you know, that's like my favorite athlete, not just tennis player, but my favorite athlete ever is Serena Williams. She yes. went into a space with her sister where people didn't come from where they came mm-hmm. from. They didn't yes, talk how content. They talk. They didn't eat the things yeah. they ate. And you
didn't
know,
wear the hair that they wore.
Exactly. Yeah. You know, that was a big thing.
The beads were a big thing.
Yes. yes. But you know, it was about Serena and Venus being who they were and always showing up in their best version mm-hmm. of self. Because, you know, how I view this is that like I carry the identities of myself with the identities of others with me, because, you know, there is a person somewhere in this country, in this world, who's never met a Black person, who's never met a queer person, and they're gonna assume if they interact with me, that's how all of them act. And, you know, and there is some heaviness that comes with that, but there's pride in that. Like, this is who we are. And there's some great versions of us.
Andre, you better talk on here.
There's heaviness there, but there's pride mm-hmm. also.
Absolutely.
Yes. You know, there is a lot of frustration right now. We're talking about the political environment now. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of frustration from Democrats with Democrats. Mm-hmm. And sometimes a sense of hopelessness, depending mm-hmm. on who you're talking to and where. Some people are tired of, quote unquote, picking the lesser of two evils yeah. when it comes to elections. People want to see democracy work in a way that they can actually feel it. You know what Absolutely. I mean? Like that day to day. And we talked about the struggle that some politicians have with being connected to the people, with local elections coming up, with national elections coming up. What do you want to say to the folks out there that may be a little hopeless or maybe
yes,
a little, you know, not encouraged? Because mm-hmm. some folks are not even wanting to vote. Like we're hearing that again mm-hmm. from some people.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts when you hear and see these type of things? And what is your message?
Yeah, one of the things that we often talk about in politics is that like politics is local. Right. Mm-hmm. And it's really important to believe that because you should be electing your neighbor. You know, like my thing is I live in a row house. I live on a block that has one side parking. You know, I'm sharing parking spots with my neighbor. I don't go home to a parking spot that's just designed for me. Right. And like if I make some noise in my living room, my neighbors can hear it and I can hear them too. Right. But it's about a sense of community. Right. And, you know, we don't have to accept what we've been dealt with, essentially. You know, we can do something different. And, you know, that was a big reason why in 2022, I ran for the same exact seat. This isn't my first time. This is my second time running for the seat. Mm-hmm. So I ran for the seat in 2022. You know, I've been a community organizer. I've been, you know, organizing my community, knocking doors and, you know, getting resources and the message out about like resources and other elected officials across the city to my neighbors for the last decade. You know, I'm 33, but you know, I've been doing this work, you know, for a while, you know, and because this is what I feel called to do.
Good trouble.
good trouble.
Good
right?
trouble like, over here.
Like John Lewis would say. But, you know.
Which is one of the people I heard you say you looked up to.
I do. Yeah. You know, it's the forefathers. When I think about my forefathers, I think about, you know, the leaders of the civil rights movement who made it possible for us to be able to sit here, right? And, mm-hmm. you know, a lot of folks feel that, you know, because you're queer on top of your blackness, there's a separation, though. There's intersection here. And
absolutely.
Know, that's what it's about, you know, bringing all of that together.
Absolutely.
And bringing the people together. Because right. as long as we see that division, it's a mechanism to keep us divided as a people.
Absolutely.
Well, what's
absolutely.
The answer? I mean, because we talk about engaging voters in 2024, mm-hmm. specifically in Philadelphia, mm-hmm. specifically in your region. What is the barrier?
Yeah.
What is the barrier and what is the answer to that?
Yeah, I think one of the things when we think about the issues that we're advocating for, right? And I think far too often we get in court like if this is a black issue, a white issue, this is a gay issue, a straight issue. When I think about queer people, when I think about like black folks, three of the things I see that's aligned, right, is that we all struggling with housing. We're mm-hmm. all struggling with economic stability. We're all struggling Food. With safety, right?
Yes.
You know, so these are mm-hmm. three things that transcend race, transcend sexuality. Yes. And these are things that, you know, we're all being impacted by. And, you know, so that's, you know, although I'm a queer black man, when I advocate for things, I'm advocating for things that,
right.
that heals all folks. Yeah. That heals all.
Because that's how we get there.
Absolutely.
Together.
Yep. Absolutely. Yep. You know,
we have our different struggles and our identities and plights as people, mm-hmm. you know, black people, white people, German people, you know, mm-hmm. Irish people, like, yes, we all come, but together, that's the message that I'm hearing.
Right.
And that's something that I very much resonate with.
Absolutely.
That we get there together.
Absolutely.
Yep. Being elected to this particular role of state rep is that, you know, I'll have an opportunity to vote for all Pennsylvanians. I won't be voting for just the folks that live in Germantown who just live in Philadelphia. Any vote I cast will impact all 13 million folks that live in the state.
So let's get into, you know, I mentioned in your introduction that you are a juvenile justice advocate.
I am.
So I want to get into that a little bit because.
You got a history?
I do not. But,
oh, okay.
but I have been impacted by the system because my father's been there.
Gotcha.
Oh, yeah. Okay. And that's important.
Yes, it is.
And I'm sure that comes up in your work.
Absolutely.
Sorry, I lost my. So you specifically work with juveniles who have been charged as adults.
Yeah.
And so I want to talk to you about what you're seeing in this mm-hmm. work. What is wrong with charging juveniles as adults? And do you feel like there's ever a situation in where it may be appropriate?
Yeah, you know, I think, you know, when I look at young people, I see innocence. I mm-hmm. see, you know, these are individuals that you can mold, that, you know, we get a chance to pour into.
They're the only ones we can.
Right.
Exactly. Everybody else.
They already who they are, right? So, you know.
Three shades to the wind.
So a big
pray
reason,
for the rest.
The reason why I go to State Road, and this is where our county jails is located, mm-hmm. but these are adult facilities, right? And the reason I go up there because there is one of the facilities that's housed juveniles. And I go up there for the last 6 years. I go up there every other Thursday. And, you know, it's what happens is when community members get removed from our community, they get forgotten about because yes. it's like you can't see, can't hear. They don't exist. And they're still a part of our community, although they don't live in the community. Right. Mm-hmm. You know, every 10 years we do census. And that money is allocated based off the population that currently exists. So even if a person is reallocated somewhere else, the funding still goes to that community.
Yeah.
And that person deserves to be able to benefit from their existence. And, you know, and that's how I see young
the people. Prison system does.
Absolutely.
But far too often, right? In Pennsylvania, we're, yeah. you know, investing 43 on average, right? This is on average. This is if a person doesn't have a health condition. But we're investing $43,000 in an individual who's incarcerated, but only $21,000 in a student.
I just hope the mic's not picking that up.
No
just
problem.
Be careful with that.
Gotcha.
But can you repeat that statistic again?
Yeah,
please?
So we're investing, mm-hmm. you know, $43,000 per inmate if they
wow.
don't have
is that per year?
A heart issue per year.
If they don't have a heart
if they
issue.
Don't, if they don't have a health issue, that can go up to around $80,000 a year per inmate.
And hopefully damn. They're getting the medical attention yep. that they need.
Barely.
But regardless right. what kind of suit this is, you know, if they have an IEP special ed, mm-hmm. They're getting $21,000 a year. And that, right, that incentive says to me that you're worth more in prison than you are sitting inside of a classroom. And I think we're sending the wrong message when we just look at the facts.
So that's why you're passionate about that.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I want to take a quick pivot. I saw one of your social medias, one of your reels, and you... So, you know, I'm a psychotherapist and I come from a scientific view sometimes. Mm-hmm. And so I'm going to call your theory, I'm going to call your point of view a theory. I saw something about your theory of good audacity.
Oh, yeah.
So the theory of good audacity. Yeah. Okay.
Oh, and, I like that.
And, okay, the listen, stay with audacity. Me. You'll go far. All right.
Walk with me.
Walk with me. I saw something about your theory of good it. Audacity mm-hmm. and having bad audacity. Mm-hmm. And that was something that you was able to receive and nurture from your childhood. You said there's something that's missing now. Talk about your theory of good audacity. What does that mean for the folks yeah. who are watching?
You know, audacity is, you know, the thought to do, mm-hmm. right? Something. And, you know, for me, the audacity has always been for me to break barriers and do the things that they said I couldn't do.
Come
and
on
I think,
here.
When I look at young people right now, I think about the kind of environment that we've created for them and the kind of environment they are existing in. And I think about that we're not giving them a sense of hope, right? We're asking young people right now to deal with things that you and I haven't mastered. And
yeah.
I don't fully know how to handle death. And I'm meeting young people who've lost more classmates and, you know, friends than I have in my entire life.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I'm twice their age, right? And it says to me is, what kind of investment are we really putting forth when it comes to our young people, right?
Not a lot.
When we think about like out of school time activities, right? Yeah, when I was growing
third,
up.
Where's these third? They talk about having a third place.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
Where do they go?
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
What do they do?
Exactly. And then you want to make laws where we block them from public spaces, but you don't want to create public spaces that are safe
for them to invest in. Exactly.
Them. And, you know, so my approach has always been about investing into people and not into things. And, you know, I think we yield a better result when we make folks whole. You know, mm-hmm. and that's like raising
yes,
the minimum wage
here.
By investing into their education, right? When we think about the workforce and we're going into these businesses and we don't have employees who are able to meet the job, it's because we haven't invested into them in a way that makes them sustainable and it gives them the opportunity to actually thrive and actually be, you know, a part of society in a productive way that helps everybody.
Yeah.
We all got to do a job that services someone else. And it's important that we got to invest into each other.
Absolutely. We're asking the kids to do things and we're not caring mm-hmm. about how do they actually get there.
Absolutely.
And it's given very much get it by your bootstraps.
Figure it out.
Which is what we loathe. We hate that so much when we hear that, but right. we're turning around and we're enforcing kind of the same mentality yep. among our youth. And like you said, our youth is really our our chance and our opportunity until the next generation comes through, which I think is what, every 20 years, I don't know. But every, you know, that's our last chance to do something and make a big impact. And specifically here in the city of Philadelphia, you know, the youth, it is sometimes troubling, but not always. We have some amazing stories out here. We have some beautiful, gifted students that are here in the city of Philadelphia that are doing amazing things and getting awards and accolades. Yes. I know, goodness, Keese, where we were at that you got an award for your work, they were acknowledging these young students, this young woman who was doing work with breast cancer. And I mean, just doing amazing things. Just imagine if we had more, if we could offer them more.
Well, that's the problem. It's about the access.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. The only thing that separates and one from where they are, now is the opportunity, right? Yeah. And opportunity is often too often defined by zip codes, by skin tones, by you know, location. And we got to change that. And we can, you know, we just can't sit by and just allow things to be the way that they are. Because the other side is fighting for what they want and the way they want it to be. Yes. And if you don't fight back, they're going to get their way.
Absolutely.
Yes, that's a really good point. Important point. Yeah. Wow, we got schools over prisons, healing over harm, people over profit. That is the mantra of the Andre D. Carroll campaign. Andre D. Carroll is the official Democratic candidate for state representative here in Pennsylvania. Yep. Thank you for being here tonight. And this was amazing.
Thank you. Thank y'all for having me.
Did you enjoy yourself?
Absolutely. I'm amongst my people.
All right. You are amongst your people. We love you. And let the people know before you get out of here where they can find you, how they can support you. I know you have a $22 fundraising campaign also going on right now. Yep. Let the people all know what they need to know. And we'll also be sure to put that in the episode notes too. Yeah,
absolutely. So all my social media handles, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, is Andre D. Carroll. D is for my middle initial. And, you know, that's also the website, andredcarroll.com. And, you know, this campaign is about inclusion, including everybody. So coming out, knocking doors, you know, there's two ways you can help a campaign. You can give your time or you can give your money. And, you know, if you don't want to give money, you know, you can come knock doors. You can make phone calls. You can tell your neighbors that the neighborhoods that are included in the district is Germantown, Logan, and West Oak Lane. And, you know, this campaign is not funded by special interests or big corporate donors. It's funded by everyday working class folks, right? I'm a working class candidate. And, you know, I sit at home and I call folks and I ask them for $10, $20, $30,
$50. The energy is pure.
Yes.
No back pocket, this is strictly for the people, by the people. Mm-hmm. You're listening to the people and you're able to be guided by the people because you don't have anyone in your pockets trying to control you. Yep. And that's what we need.
Well, you know, I walk a block with you.
Yeah.
I'm not that.
And listen, that's fine.
I was just wondering if you picked that up. A block.
You got three blocks done.
But listen, that's right.
Those who get you there is those who keep you there.
And that's right. I want
to be kept there by everyday folks. So.
There we go. Yeah.
Wow, that's why. Right. Yeah. So walk with me. So I ain't
got to. I had my watch on earlier to count my steps. But when I get my watch back, I'll do one block with you. And that's it.
It's like 60 houses on a block.
Well, is this a short block or a long block? I don't, not the real
it's
long
block. It's a northwest block.
Oh, I was going to say.
Just no, give me a West Philly block. Anyway, I'm going off script. You know, that was another episode of
we
Hung Up Car Live.
You talking about 60 houses on the block. Yeah.
They squeezing us in there.
Yes. Hello.
Yes.
Bro house.
Close us out, Tony.
If you enjoyed this episode, let us know. Remember to like and subscribe. Ring our bell to Hung Up Pod. Yes. Let us know. All right?
All right, y'all. Thank y'all for tuning in to another episode of Hung Up Pod Live. Until next week.
World peace.
We'll see y'all. Peace.